Hello, I'm Mike Salem. Welcome to CWH. We are thrilled to be gathering together for Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week, where Jesus entered Jerusalem knowing that he would be tried and crucified. We are grateful that our viewers opened their doors and let us come in to worship together. We hope you will invite your friends and family to watch with us today and next week for Easter Sunday. Thank you for your notes to us. We recently heard from a viewer in Illinois. Thank you for continuing your program with Pastor Salem's messages of hope in Jesus Christ's salvation. You all bring encouragement to so many. My husband and I watch you every Sunday. Dad's sermon today, Earth's Coming King, walks us along Jesus' ride on a donkey through Jerusalem, going to the cross and shedding his blood for the sins of the world. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Salem, and I want to welcome you to the Christian Worship Hour. And we always rejoice. We just thank the Lord when we can come into your home or maybe your truck, maybe you're a truck driver or something, or out in the field working with your tractor. Wherever you are, we're so glad we could just join with you all over the world and worship the dear Lord Jesus Christ. And we're thinking of the psalmist in Psalm 86, where he writes, "Give ear, O Lord, unto my prayer. Attend to the voice of my supplications. In the day of my trouble, I will call upon thee, for thou wilt answer me. Among the gods, there is none like unto thee, O Lord. Neither are there any works like unto thy works. All nations whom thou hast made shall come and worship before thee, O Lord, shall glorify thy name. For thou art great and doest wondrous things. Thou art God alone. Teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in the truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name." And dear Heavenly Father, we do. We just fear your name and love your name. And we do that because you are the great God. And we know that we just want to serve you and love you and honor you in all that we do and say. And so in this service today, Lord, this is your service. And we just thank you that we're able to carry it all over the world, all over the face of the world. And all of those that are joining with us, Lord, those who know you and those some who don't. And maybe in the service today, they'll open their heart to Jesus. And wouldn't that be something? So just bless us, Lord, and be honored in all that we do and say. In Jesus' name, amen. Barb's going to sing for us, "The Old Rugged Cross Made the Difference." And God bless you, Barb.
A life filled with aimless desperation, without hope, walked the shell of a man. Then a hand with a nail print stretched downward. Just one touch, then a new life began. And the old rugged cross made the difference in a life bound for heartache and defeat. Echoed harshness and anger. terror to hide. Now those walls ring with love, warmth, and laughter, since the giver ashen faces. Without hope, death has wrapped them in gloom. But at the sign of a saint, there's rejoicing.
Amen, and thank you, Barb, and that's it. The cross made the difference, all the difference in the world, all the difference in eternity, all the difference between heaven and hell stands that old rugged cross. And if you want to go to heaven, you got to go through the cross. You go to the cross, and you pray to Jesus, who died on that cross and paid for our sins, and ask him to come into your heart and take away your sins. Promise to forsake all the sins, all your evil ways, and anything unpleasing to the Lord. Make him the Lord of your life and just thank him. Yes, just say, dear Jesus, I'm a poor lost sinner. Ask you to take away my sins. And I'll follow you the best I can. Thank you, Jesus. I prayed that prayer when I was 10 years old, 86 years ago. And there he is in my heart, and never left me once. Wonderful Savior. Well, we want to share some of the letters. We just like the letters, and we have some people that like the letters. The first one is one that they like the letters. They say here in Kansas City, Kansas, I like your letter reading the best. Oh, I didn't notice that. I thought you liked the sermon the best. And here's about the letters. But I tell you, she says why she writes that. I like your letters reading the best. You make it such an enjoyable learning time. Such great lessons come from letters. God bless you in your ministry. Even though it sounds true, trite, keep up the good work. God work. And so, yes, we get a lot of letters from people. And I tell you why they like the letters. Because when somebody writes in and they got a question, you can just bet your money that there's many others have the same question, but they did a little timid about writing or something like that. And so when we answer the letters, we try to answer them with Scripture. What does God say? It doesn't care what I'm saying or anybody else is saying. What does God say? And so you just get your pencil and paper, and we'll give you the address in just a few minutes. I hope you'll write. And a lot of times, if you can, send a gift, because, you know, we got to pay our way just like everybody else. And I'm just a poor preacher. I told him I'm just a poor preacher. If you don't believe it, come and hear me preach sometime. I'll live up to my name. So you get your pencil and paper. We'll look at that later. here's Sac City, Iowa. Listen to this. This is from a gentleman. I'm 100 and a half years old. I can't walk too good anymore. Lucky I can get around in my home. I thank my Jesus, my Lord. He gives me his grace and love for all he's done for me in my 100 and a half years. All that I've lived. When my time is done, I will be with my best friend, Jesus. That'll be so nice. And I thought, isn't this nice here? God's given him over 100 years. God tells us, you know, we don't know. We have a time to be born and a time to die. I think God has that all written out, all set out before we ever born, a time to come and a time to go. And sometimes he leaves some here a long time. And if he leaves you here an extra long time, like with me, 96, well, that means that he wants us to serve him. And he has some work for us to do. And it means that we're kind of slow, and it takes us longer to get things done. And so when we get things done, he'll take us home. And so that's the way we live. And hear this. God bless this gentleman for writing in. Here's Raytown, Missouri. We love watching your show every Sunday. We have not gone to church for the past few months because of the side effects of chemo. God bless you. Well, I tell you, I had cancer of the colon some years ago, and I took chemo for a year, every Monday for a year, and I know exactly how they're talking. It just is a horrible ordeal, but you can do it with God's help, and that's been with me now. That was 1990, 27, 28 years. So it could help me so I could carry on, serve the Lord. But I know what they say. It's hard. It just knocks you down. It's hard to get around. So we're glad that we can minister and they can worship with us. And another thing we have that's really wonderful, we have a little paper called The New Song. And The New Song, it just talks about how that you can, it's a little Bible study. And now, for instance, now we're coming into the month of April. And so we have seven things that happen when you're born again. Seven things that happen when you accept Jesus. And it's a little Bible study. It's just a wonderful thing. And so I know you're saying, oh boy, I hope I can afford to pay for that. What's the subscription on that? And you know what we do? Send it free and postpaid. If you can send some gifts to help us in the work, that's fine. If you're just dead broke or if you're in prison, we hear from people in prison, they don't have a lot of income. We send it free and postpaid. Seven things that happens when we're born again. I know you'll love it. Keep your pencil and paper quick. I don't want you to miss this. Here is Gresham, Oregon. We are newer listeners that recently found you on Sunday during bad weather. How good it is to find good Bible teaching and preaching on TV. We are in our 80s, closer to our 90s, so it's often hard to get to church. Well, thank you, and God bless you and keep you. And so we're always happy to hear when we hear from these people that can't get out. Because one of the big things in our ministry of Christian Worship Hour, the first thing is we want to honor God, we want to glorify God. That's number one. And then we want to bring people to a saving knowledge of Jesus so they accept Jesus. And then we want to help those who are shut-ins. And then we preach also for the young people and for the children and just preach the Word of God. But we're thinking about people that can't get out. And God sees you, and you're here for a reason. Sometimes they'll say, well, what am I here for anyway? I can't do anything. You can pray, and we'll have a little list. And if it, maybe you can't write anymore, but in your mind. And then when something comes up to you, God lays somebody on your heart, then you pray for that person. Maybe it's somebody that needs to accept Jesus. Maybe it's somebody who just lost a loved one and they're grieving. Maybe it's a young person who doesn't know what to do in life and they're wondering, what am I going to choose in life? Maybe it's the children. We preach so that the children understand. The children can pray and accept Jesus. And we have letters from children that accept Jesus. And maybe in their little tender heart. I was 10 years old when I accepted Jesus. I remember it as clear as a bell if it was yesterday. And I've never been without that doubt. Jesus is in my heart. And he'll never leave me and he'll never forsake me and he'll take me home. And so those are the things we think about shut-ins. Those are hard put, people hard put. And then we have Tulsa, Oklahoma. I am crippled, disabled, and can't work anymore besides being old. I'm struggling to survive, and I don't have much to live on, but I want to help your ministry what little I can. Your work helps so many that can't help themselves. This is the Lord's money because I don't have any, but I am very blessed. And this person has it exactly right. Here's your whole sermon. What's she say? This is the Lord's money. I don't have any. That's exactly right. Every penny you've got in your possession that you're holding in your hand is the Lord's. And we are here to use that money and to use our talents and our time and our ability to honor and glorify God. Remember this, friends. You don't own the store. You just work in it. And you handle his goods for a while. That's exactly, she hit the nail right on the head. And so God says that he wants us to give. And he wants us to give cheerfully. But, you know, if you can't give cheerfully, give anyway. He'll take it from a grouch. But it's better if you have a little cheer in it, a little joy in it. It's not yours. You're just holding it. Let loose of it. Here's Wichita, Kansas. I can't wait to hear which country you are praying for. When I hear, I quick grab a pen and jot it on my world prayer list. Then I mark the country on my wall prayer map. excuse me. And so sometimes people write and say, well, how do you pick the countries? Where do you get the countries from? Well, there's an organization called Open Doors. And when we talk about Open Doors, it's a mission to persecute a church. And they list 50 countries where they're being persecuted. And then they list the first 10. And so we go down that list and we pick out those countries. That's where we get those countries from. If you'd like to get information from Open Doors, you can go get it by on the internet. You get it Open Doors. It's O-D-U-S-A, opendoorsusa.org. And they'll put you on your list and you can find all those countries and pray for the persecuted Christians. Here's Hot Springs, South Dakota. And they write, thank you to everyone who helps you get me to TV every Sunday. I love your preaching that helps me remember that God has forgiven me of my sins. And someday I may get to heaven. And that's why I put this in the letter, because they say, I may get to heaven. Now you can know that you're going to get to heaven. And as Jesus told us, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. And that's in 1 John chapter 5. And then this is the next verse. It's verse 12. And then the 13th verse, John writes and says, these things have I written unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. We can know we're going to heaven. And I'll tell you my favorite verse is John chapter 5, verse 24. Where Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, whosoever heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, right now, hath everlasting life. Then Jesus goes on, he's not done. Hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, that is, you won't go into hell, but you're passed from death to life. What do you do? You get baptized, you serve the Lord, you give money. What do? Believe. Believe to him that believeth. Paul says in Romans, to him that worketh not but believeth. It is faith alone in one person, Jesus. And a child can break that prayer. I know from experience. And I have a daughter, Patty, accepted Jesus when she was 5 years old. She's a grandma now, but she's still walking with Jesus. One more letter, and that's Edwardsburg, Michigan. Thank you for helping get through a hard year. My husband was diagnosed with lung cancer January 17, fought a brave battle until God took him home December 18th, 2017. I listened to your program many times over the year, and God and his word kept me and my husband strong and courageous, as just like he commanded Joshua. He was with me. So this is our work, to bring people to Jesus and to help people going through hard times. And you can have a part in it, and I'm going to tell you how. You can write to us at the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour. The box is 2002. We're in Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. If you want to, you can get us on the internet, christianworshiphour.com. And you write to us for one thing and ask for the new song. That's our little Bible study. And then when you write to us, you can just pray for these people and think about them. And every time you give a gift, it helps us to help these people going through hard times. We hear from many prison people in prison, in one prison, a federal prison. We've heard from 15 different people in that prison. We answer everyone that writes to us and send them literature. They can't help us, so that we have to have somebody else help us. And so we need to have your gifts. And like James says, you have not because you ask not. If you don't tell people you have a need, they think you're okay. So we have a need. And we're just like the dentist. We live from hand to mouth. And we're not ordered or helped by any organization or any denomination, but it's by God's people as God lays it on your heart. So you pray, and then you help us, and you say, well, how do I know you're going to spend the money right? I don't know what you do with that money. Well, I'll tell you what we do with that money. We're a member of an international organization called the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability. They audit our books. Every penny we take in, every penny we spend. And they are tough, tough. And that's the way we like it. Because we're doing it because God's watching us, not because the ECFA is. But you can't see God watching us, but you can check with the ECFA. You can write to them. They get them on the internet to learn all about them. So you need to help us. And I'm going to give it again now because you people on the short wave, it's the Christian Worship Hour. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. So now I'm going to pray, Jan's going to play, and you give as God lays it on your heart. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for speaking to your people. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thank you, Jan. God bless you. We're reading from Psalm chapter 2. As a matter of fact, we'll read the entire chapter of, say, 12 verses. Psalm chapter 2, where the psalmist writes, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, 'Let us break their bands asunder, cast away their cords from us. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath and vex them in his sore displeasure. Yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said to me, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. Thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings, be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are they that put their trust in him." In our prayer today, and this is talking about when Jesus comes, sets up his kingdom. That's going to be our sermon today. And in our prayer, we're going to pray for the persecuted church in Iraq. And so let's just pray. Dear Heavenly Father, first of all, we just thank you that you're such a great God. And we know that's a rebellion against you. And there are people who say, "Let us break these cords. We don't want to listen to his word. We want to live our own life. We want to do our own thing." And they go deeper into sin all of the time. And then we are just defying God. And we want to go listen to God. And God looks at them and he laughs, because he knows he's going to one day come in justice and judgment. And oh my, have mercy on their soul. And so we're just praying, Lord, that people today will turn from their evil ways, that they'll turn from their resistance against God and receive Jesus into their heart and become a part of the people of God. May multitudes do that. And then, Lord, we do think about these dear people in Iraq. They're our brothers and sisters. They're part of our family in Christ. And some of them have died for you, Lord. Many of them have died for you and suffered for you in such a way. Oh, we can't imagine it. And the little children, we think of the little children. And so, Heavenly Father, we just wish you could just come and put an end to these things. And yet you wait because you want to just give that person another time to come to you, a little more time to come to you. Because when you come and settle it, that's going to be the end. And after death, the judgment. So this is your service, Lord, and we pray that you'll guide us and direct us in every word we use. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And Melissa's going to sing, "Were You There?" And God bless you, Melissa.
God bless you.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Well, sometimes it causes crucified my Lord. Were you there when
Thank you, Melissa. It's the wonderful story of the Lord Jesus, and that's what we're going to be thinking about today. How he went to the cross, paid for our sins, and then the emphasis of the sermon is about Jesus Christ coming again when he's going to be the King of Kings and rule over this whole world. And it's a thrilling story, so I hope you'll just stay tuned. This Sunday, the church year, is commonly called Palm Sunday. And we call it that because Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a little donkey. And the crowds cut down branches and threw them down there. And some of them took their clothes and put on this pathway to show how they were showing respect and love to Jesus, who's going to be the king. And they called him the great King of the Jews. Sometimes people wonder why that he rode on a donkey and not some fiery horse. But in those days, kings many times rode on donkeys in parades. And so that all the eyes would be placed upon that wonderful king as they're looking at that day. Well, that's what precisely that Jesus did, and that's just what he is. Remember this, he is a little baby, and he is a shepherd, and he is a savior, and he is all of that. But he is also a king. A king. He is the king. He's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So briefly, let's look at here. The crowds hail him as their king. They're, for a little while, they're all crowning him their king and calling him their king. And Jesus is going to be crowned king, but he's got to do something first. He's got to go to that cross. And on that cross, he shed his blood for the sins of the world. And then he's buried in Joseph of Arimathea's new tomb, new unused tomb. And then he's raised from the dead. And after that, the work of redemption is completed. And then at the Father's own choosing, he's going to be made the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He has to get this work done. But then when the work is done, the cross and the suffering and the dying and the rising from the dead and this wonderful ministry, when that work is all done, then he's going to be proclaimed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Remember what Isaiah said 700 years earlier in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 and 7? The government shall be upon his shoulder. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with justice and with righteousness from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform all of this. And what Isaiah is saying here, and other Old Testaments said the same thing, there is a coming Messiah, Jesus Christ. And when he comes, he's going to sit, literally, physically sit on David's throne. Mark it down. And this Messiah sitting on David's throne is going to rule all of Israel. But he's also going to rule something else. He's going to rule the whole wide wicked world. That's Jesus Christ. And as fantastic as that sounds, there's still another fantastic fact about it. He's going to rule on David's throne forever. He's never going to die. It's never going to end. Jesus Christ is never going to die again. Oh, that's a wonderful prophecy. And it has caused many people to say, oh, that's impossible, that's wild. And they try to explain it away and they try to discard it. And they say, oh, it's just a story. But I'm going to tell you a little secret, friends. It's a literal prophecy. And in all fairness and candor, when you read that story in the scriptures, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, you can't do but anything but see it is a literal, physical, actual king and a kingdom. And it's going to happen. It's going to come just as sure as the day follows night. So let's look at this thing. God, first of all, God's kingdom on earth is coming. Jesus Christ is a king, and he's going to have a kingdom. And just before his ascension into heaven, Jesus was asked by his disciples. They said to him, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Acts 1 verse 6. And they were talking about a literal, physical, political kingdom that would overthrow Rome. And they wanted to know if Jesus would establish that long kingdom right now. or if not now, just when? And notice this, when Jesus answered that question, he did not deny that he would one day have a literal kingdom. He did not deny the fact of his kingdom. Listen to him in Acts 1, verse 7. And Jesus said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which my Father has put in his power. Jesus is saying, yes, I'm going to have a kingdom. You bet I'm going to have the kingdom. But when that kingdom comes, that's in the Father's hands. But it will come, Buster. Don't forget that. So now many years later, perhaps 35 or 40 years later, John writes, one of his disciples writes this, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, Revelation 11, 15. That goes hand in hand with Isaiah's prophecy written 700 years before Jesus was born. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. That day is coming when the Lord will be king over all the earth. God's kingdom is going to be established in a future day. The prophets and the apostles all spoke of a future kingdom, and he is going to sit upon a literal throne, the literal throne of David. 2 Samuel chapter 7 is a great chapter dealing with this matter, and it contains the covenant that God made with David. It's today we call it the Davidic covenant. And so God made a covenant with David, and he said, and it says it has to do with the son of David, of whom God said, I will be his father, and he shall be my son. He's speaking of Jesus Christ in this prophecy. And in the 16th verse of this chapter of 2 Samuel, God says of his only begotten son, thy kingdom and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee, for thy throne shall be established forever, forever. He's never going to die again. He died once. He'll live forever, and his kingdom will last forever. Later on, God affirms this covenant in Psalm 89, verses 34 to 37. He confirms the Davidic covenant. Listen to it. My covenant will I not break, nor will I alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, that will I not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me, S-U-N before me. It shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. In other words, this promise, this oath is as sure as God Almighty himself. That's God's statement. And he says, that throne, there's going to come a king set on that throne. And he's on the throne of David, not just any throne. It's David's throne. And so that's going to last forever. He's going to have a great God. He's going to have a great kingdom. He's going to have a great kingdom. And he's going to rule over the whole earth, the whole wide world. God's kingdom then will be a literal kingdom. Always remember that when God spoke to David about a house, he was not speaking about a spiritual house. He was speaking about a material house right then. God was speaking about a political house. He was not speaking about a material house. He was talking about a political house that's going to come. That is, there's going to be a royal family. There's going to have a family of descendants. And later on, when God speaks of a kingdom, he was referring to a place ruled by a king. It's not imaginary, it's not fictitious, it's not spiritual, not something in the sky. It is on the earth, a political kingdom. When God spoke about a throne, he meant a literal seat of a literal throne and a literal king. The throne of David is as literal as the throne of England or the throne of Jordan. So it is with Jesus Christ sitting on the throne of David. It is all flesh. It is literal. It is actual. It isn't a dream or a parable or something like that. It is actually going to happen. The throne of David is empty today. No descendant sits upon it. David's descendants did occupy the throne for centuries, but they rebelled against God. And because they rebelled against God, Israel was carried into captivity, and there's no one sitting on the throne of David since. They were dispersed in 70 AD by Titus, the Roman general, and they're scattered over all the earth. And in 1948, they came back and have their country again. But in all those years, they were all gone over the face of the earth. God says in Hosea, he tells them what's going to happen. He says, Hosea 3, verse 5, he says, "For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice." And that's what happened to Israel, scattered all over the world all those years since 70 AD. Then one day, centuries later, an angel Gabriel came. Centuries later, there's nobody been on that throne. It's been empty, it's been vacant. Then here comes Gabriel to a virgin named Mary, and he says, "Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, shalt bring forth a son, shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and he shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of David his father." And it says, "And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Luke 1, 31 to 33. Can you write it any plainer? And so it happened. When the wise men came, they said, "Where is he born king of the Jews?" They didn't say to be king of the Jews. Where is he is the king? Where is a born king? And when the king of the Jews came to the people, they rejected him. And they said, "Away with him." And they nailed him to a tree and they crucified him. That's what they did to the king. And Pilate, the Roman governor, placed over the head of Jesus, "This is Jesus, king of the Jews." And the Jews wanted a sign changed and says, "He said he was king of the Jews." And Pilate says, "No, what I've written, I've written. He's king of the Jews." And there you have it. God Almighty used Pilate to write the truth all for all the world to see. All of hell could not change it. He's destined to be the king of the Jews and the king on David's throne. And furthermore, God's covenant with David was not broken that day, because God raised up Jesus from the dead, and he's going to sit on that throne, and he's ready to return any time. And then Peter talks about it. He says in Acts 2, verses 29 to 32, listen to what he says. "Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried. His sepulchre is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him that the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereby we are all witnesses." And again in Acts, we have the same great proclamation, Acts 2, verse 24, "whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it." And one reason that Jesus could not be held by death was because of the Davidic covenant. Because Jesus died for our sins, he said he would be raised again. But God says, this sort of one David, this follower, this son of God, he's going to be on the throne of God, and nobody's going to stop it, and nobody's circumvented is going to come. So the kingdom will be situated, and it will be situated in Jerusalem. We know that. God declares that he will seat his son on his holy hill of Zion. That can be only one place in the world, Jerusalem. The first mention of Zion in Scripture is in 2 Samuel chapter 5, verses 6 to 9. Zion is a hill in Jerusalem. It was in the older part, the higher part, but later it was used to speak of all of Jerusalem. And that's why today we're moving our embassy to Jerusalem, because that is going to be the seat where Jesus Christ is going to come. It can only mean Jerusalem and no other place. Zion, sometimes they sing about Zion. We're marching to Zion, the heavenly city of Zion. But that's talking about heaven. But this scripture isn't talking about heaven. It's talking about right here, as David's throne was in Jerusalem. And it is talking about that when David's going to be there. And God never had any other man in place except Jesus Christ. And he had no other place but Jerusalem. Jesus, the King, is in heaven. He's not seated on the throne of David. David's throne is empty. But there's going to come a day when Jesus returns, and he's going to be sitting upon that throne, and he's going to rule and reign upon the throne of David. And this is literal, just as plain as the nose on my face. Today, Jesus is rejected on earth, but not for long. Hebrews 10:13 reminds us of that. He says, from henceforth, expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. That is, Jesus is seated in heaven at the right hand of God. But at his own appointed time, he's going to return to this earth, and he's going to sit on that throne in Jerusalem. Literally sit on it. And oh boy, I can't wait to see all of these people that are rejecting Jesus Christ. And all of these people, you know, they talk about separation of church and state. And when our fathers wrote that, they meant that there was not to be a city, an official church. But we had have our worship as we wanted to. But now they use it to no ends. And they don't have the Bible in the schools. They don't want God's name used. They resist God. And I'm just rejoicing here, because Jesus Christ is going to come to sit upon that throne, and all of the world is going to bend their knees and bow their knees and confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Oh, they hate God, and they hate God's rules. And like Psalms 2, they say, let us break his bonds. That is, let's break his commandments. And we don't want him telling us what to do. We don't want any thou shalt and thou shalt not. We're free. We want to be free. Well, they'll close their mouth. They won't have anything to say. They'll be like the man that was taken to that. Jesus told the story of the man who was taken to, went to the feast. And he wasn't invited. He didn't wear that garment. And when he was accosted, he didn't have a word to say. His big mouth was shut. So the house of David has fallen down. It's going to be rebuilt in Acts 15, verses 13 to 17. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which has fallen down. Tabernacle means house. And so he's going to crush all opposition. He's going to rule and reign as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. The time will be according to God's plan. That is, it's going to come when God is ready. For instance, God says, yet have I set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Matthew throws additional light upon this. And he writes in Matthew 25:31, Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. This has reference to the Jesus Christ when he comes again and he establishes kingdom on earth, and he sets his kingdom in Jerusalem, and he rules over all of Israel, and he rules all that country, and he rules over the whole world. This great King Jesus, that's my Lord and my Savior. And he's the one we serve. And you in the persecuted church, he's the one you're dying for. You're giving your life for this king. And someday you'll be in his kingdom. And you'll rule and you'll reign with him. And wear a martyr's crown. God bless you, dear people. And so this throne is upon this city of Jerusalem. And it's going to come to pass. Remember, God said in St. John, in Revelation 11, verse 15, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. And remember what old Isaiah said 500 years ago? The government is going to be on his shoulder. the government is on the shoulder of the Messiah, Jesus, and he's going to rule and reign forever and ever. And Isaiah says, of the increase of his government, there shall be no end. That is, it's total, where Jesus Christ reigns. That's our Christ. And here's something that just makes me, just tickles me to death. Jesus Christ, the head of the church, is going to ruin the government. Now the government doesn't want anything to do with God and Jesus, and the church is going to be the government, the whole government that rules the whole world by this great King Jesus Christ. And this is going to be all because of the great power of God, and he's sitting on his throne of David, and the whole world is under his control, under the church, under the control of the church, the head of the church of Jesus Christ. Isn't that something? So you better do your cursing now, and you better do your wickedness now, because when he comes, you'll bow your heads and you won't say anything. But really what we're praying is that you will come to Jesus. And then Psalm 72 talks about how Jesus is going to rule and reign everywhere. Psalm 72, he shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river under the ends of the earth. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Jesus is coming again. And so I want to ask you something. Do you know Jesus Christ? Have you ever bowed your head to Jesus? Have you ever come to him and said, oh, Jesus, I've sinned against you. And I ask you to forgive me. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart. He says, I stand at the door and knock. I want to come into your heart. I want to cleanse you. I want to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to make you a member of the family of God. I want to give you the Holy Spirit to guide and direct you. I want to bless you a million times over with spiritual blessings that money can't buy. I want to do that, but I can't do that, Jesus is saying, unless you ask me in. If Jesus wanted to, he could knock your door off or your head off or whatever he wanted. But oh no, he knocks on the door. And if you open the door, all right. And if you leave it closed, that's all right too. You say, no, I don't want heaven. I want hell. I don't want God. I want the devil. And he don't open your door. And you need to pray and say, Jesus, dear Jesus, I've sinned against you. He knows that, but he wants you to confess it. And just please come into my heart. And I'll serve you, Lord, the best I can. And thank you, Jesus. Now, if you made that prayer, you write to us. And we'll send you literature. Christian Worship Hour, wherever you are. If you send us email, we'll send you information by email. Christian Worship Hour, Box 2002. Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And you want to get us on internet, you can send gifts on internet, christianworshiphour.com. But we hope and just pray. And I know that all over the world there are people coming to Jesus and people that drifted away from Jesus coming back, see. And there's great rejoicing in heaven as you come. So you come. And all of you on a short wave again, Box 2002, Aberdeen, South Dakota, 57402. And then just remember, we have our new song. We'll send that to you. If you write us a letter, if you have a question, we'll try to answer that question. And we'll try to minister to you in every way we can. But we want you to make that first step. Come to Jesus. Now I want to pray for you. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you for the multitudes of people that are praying that prayer right now, and they're coming to Jesus, and they're part of his family, and they, when Jesus sets up his kingdom, they're going to rule and reign with the King. Dear Lord, bless the children today. Be with the young people. Help them in the decisions of life. Be with those who are on beds of sickness and those that are shut-ins and those that can't get out and those that have lost loved ones and those who are sick and, oh God, don't know which way to turn. Help them to know that you love them. And if you open their hearts to you, and if they've done, if they've asked you into their heart, help them to know that you said you'd never leave them or forsake them. You won't go just because they're sick or you maybe did something wrong. You'll be with them all the way. Help them, Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So now we need to hear from you all. We got it on the sheet there on the screen. And you need to have your prayers. We need to have your financial help. And if you want us to carry on, if you think this is something of the Lord, or just ask Jesus, ask God, dear God, should I help these people? Is this something you want? And then you'll know. He'll say, yes, of course. Or maybe he'll say, no, put it somewhere else. But he'll answer your prayer. And then you just say, Lord, what should I send? What do you want me to do? And then just be obedient. And in the meantime, love Jesus and trust Jesus. And always remember that God loves you. He loves you so much he gave his son. And the Christian worship hour loves you. That's why Sunday after Sunday and week after week, for 39 years, we've given this message. So God bless you. And we're going to see you in heaven.
My dad loved to preach because he got to tell people of the saving grace of Jesus Christ. For the 76 years he was a pastor, he wanted everyone to know that Jesus loved them, died for them, and rose again, so that anyone who calls upon his name and repents of their sin will have eternal life in heaven. And for those of us that have received Jesus and are born again, Dad wanted to encourage us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I'm Mike Salem. To learn more about having a relationship with Jesus, visit our website at cwh.org. You can also stream this message again, as well as other 30 and 60 minute programs. Locate a station in your area. Subscribe to our monthly newsletter called A New Song. View frequently asked questions answered by Pastor Salem, as well as newly released devotions. And submit a prayer request on our Pray For Me page. Our weekly program will also be available on our website, our Facebook page, and our YouTube channel. We hope you have been uplifted by today's program. Please pray for this ministry and help us financially to continue proclaiming the gospel through the Christian Worship Hour. We would be most grateful. Thank you, and God bless you.